Right, so we I was just about to say,
Do you think?
communications. Might the problem of the
You
visibility,
mean because we're not communicating with each other?
not just that we're not communicating, I think at our best, we can't communicate beyond certain limits, beyond certain parameters.
We can't communicate at all, in spite of the fact that we have great systems of communication, greater than ever. But people cannot communicate because it's very dangerous. Sometimes it's very dangerous to communicate in the sense that you don't want to tell anybody your weakness because they might exploit it. And you might not tell them what you see about them because they may be angry. And you might be angry if they called you on what you do and say, we are not. What has happened in the UK, which is terribly important, is that a movement is forming. And the same thing is true is happening in the United States. And I think it's happening in a number of countries in different forms. But in this country, it's headed by two men in the Labour Party, two white men, who are both anti-racist and anti-imperialist and anti-sexist, although I don't know how much they know about that. That's always to be proven. And people are gathering and saying, look, let's change everything because these people who are in charge now are barbaric and they make wars and they worry about Trident, but they don't worry about the fact that I don't have food for my children. And so let's reverse that. You know, this is happening here. In the US, let me finish the point. In the US, there's a movement called the Poor People's Campaign, which is truly multiracial, by which I mean not only white and black, but all the colors in between are welcome and are campaigned with and for. And they have 20 or 25 states now have really strong campaigns, and I relate to those people. And it's the continuation of Martin Luther King's Poor People's Campaign of 67, and by 68 they killed him, they got rid of that thing quickly. Also, he became anti-war, and they just were not going to have it. When he was a nice, peaceful man who didn't challenge their war, he was deserved not only a cup of coffee in the White House, but a full dinner. But now, then was anti-Vietnam War, he was doomed. These movements are arising because people are trying to work out how to have a movement that is not corrupted. That's a really big problem.
But it seems to me that inevitably, and it comes back to what I was saying about degeneration and renewal, some failure, some degeneration, some anomaly is inevitable, some flaw, whether we intend it,
Why is it inevitable? You think
because
it's
of,
God-given? Devil-given?
I think it's evident in nature all around us. We see it in ourselves, or we start young and then we go through this cycle. We age and then we die. And I like to focus on the communication, because I think that this is where we see it most, I hesitate to say explicitly, because in some ways it's explicit and in other ways it isn't. Despite your best intentions, your message fails to have the impact. The words that you produce fail to have the, even when you're trying to be conciliatory, and this is my experience in many ways, even when I'm trying to be conciliatory, I call the book, the Bible, Beauty and Terror Reconciled, I talk about reconciliation, I talk about finding a middle way, and yet I scared people enough for somebody to approach me at the Millennium Forum and ask me if I'd ever been to Afghanistan and met Osama bin Laden. Because people, we all bring a certain lens to the situation, and with the best intention, misunderstandings happen.
Yes, but I don't think that's the problem that we have.
Yeah.
That absolutely goes on. I can't deny it, and why should I?
Mm.
But that is not the problem. That is the result of the problem.
Mm.
The problem is that we are pitted against each other, that the society is very hierarchical, that one layer disciplines the layer below and goes on, and we have to break that cycle and have a renewal of ourselves and each other. And the thing, because I'm a Marxist, I don't mean I'm a member of a Marxist sect. I don't think they have very much to say most of the time.
Mm.
But because I'm a Marxist, I agree with him that in the course of building a movement with others, we change ourselves and become fitted, to quote him, to found society anew.
Mm.
I believe that. I've seen it.
Mm.
I've seen people who have been engaged in the movement and changing, and they change massively. I mean, not one person one year. I mean, thousands upon thousands of people transformed in their what they conceive of as possible and what they conceive of themselves as being able to accomplish with others, and really genuine love among people.
Mm.
Massively, I've seen that.
Mm.
And I've seen the reaction where they come and kill and maim to destroy that.
Mm. But and again, you're reverting to my point to some extent. And I agree that, and I've seen, I think of the New Jewel movement under Bishop.
New Jewel under Bishop.
Yeah, but again,
that, I didn't know it, but I knew of it, and it seemed to me one of those.
Yeah.
Yes.
But look at how this splintered from it from within.
It
Bernard
wasn't splintered.
Cord.
Well, no, excuse me. Bernard Cord wasn't splintering from within. Bernard Cord was part of a whole international network of Stalinism, which helped to destroy that movement, and the U.S. finished it.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a Marxist, wasn't he?
That was not within. Oh, that was what?
Wasn't he a Marxist, Bernard Cord?
I don't know if he called himself a Marxist or a Nazi, but what he was enormously destructive.
Mm.
And he was not, it was not integral to that movement that he be in charge. I saw Bernard Cord when he was in this country, and I said to myself, long before New Jewel, and I said to myself, this man is absolutely no good.
Mm.
I thought so.
Mm.
But, you know, but people, but this is, we can't discuss this because this is as it will turn out. That is, either you're right or I am, but we'll know soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no point, but I do not believe that it was the internal weaknesses of New Jewel that destroyed it. I do not. It was definitely forces from without. And Nyerere's Tanzania, it was definitely forces from without. And in a sense, the corrupt within who were supported from outside.
Yeah.
That's all. There's nothing to discuss, really. You have a point of view and I do. And
yeah, that's
see.
Fine. That's fine. Hannah Arendt, writing her book, Eichmann in Jerusalem, The Trial of Adolf Eichmann, she coined this phrase, the banality of evil. And she in reference...
Yeah, she was a philosopher. You know, don't give me philosophy, I beg you, because I agree with Marx, you know. Philosophers have described a world in many ways.
Mm.
The point, however, is to change it. And Hannah Arendt has not offered too much on that.
On change.
That's right.
Okay, but I think there might be some value in her view, and I'm not saying I agree entirely with it. I'm not even saying I understand it fully. I understand it's a disputed view, but this concept of the banality of evil.
So what? What do you know when you know that?
That evil or error isn't always driven by the intention and the purposefulness, the perverse, let's call it perverse intent or perverse purpose. It's often a case of bureaucratic. What's his name? The guy, the Greek economist who was in England, he spoke at the UEA. He cited Arendt. He did he? Maybe I was the one who brought it up.
I don't know.
But I was at the talk. Maybe I brought it up. I think actually I was the one who brought it up. But he was talking about he was looking at what's happening in Brexit and the impasse between Britain and the EU. And he was saying a lot of these guys, they don't mean to be in the EU. Who were the people who, because he was talking as a Greek, based on the Greek experience. Yiannopoulos?
Yes, I know, but I don't, long Greek name.
Yeah, he was saying, based on their experience, it seems to him that a lot of these guys don't mean to be difficult, the EU bureaucrats, but they have this box-ticking mentality, tick, 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 tick.
I don't care, this one kind of way thing. Or the other.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's important. I really don't.
Okay. Okay.
I really don't. Yeah. I think there's such a thing as a bureaucratic mind, and the bureaucratic mind does not tolerate the creative mind of the grassroots.
Mm.
That I know about, but whether they don't mean to this and don't mean to that, they mean to keep power. Mm. They all mean to keep power. And the ones who are for Brexit in this country mean to keep the power of Trump, that instead of relating to Europe, that the UK will be dependent on trade with the US, where Trump at any moment can pull the plug. Mm. That's who they are, that's what they're working for, and that's what Theresa May doesn't want to be dragged into, but has no choice, because on the other side is Corbyn, and her job is to keep the wall up for Corbyn, and that's the whole matter. And I don't think there's a lot to discuss there
on that one. Yeah. Okay. You think Corbyn will bring the kind of change that you envisage?
No, and he doesn't say he will. I think Corbyn is the point of reference for a movement which can bring in that change. And Corbyn has to understand that movement and be responsive to that movement. And I don't think that's an easy job. And I hope he's up to it. I think he is. And he has not only one, but there are two of them who are the point of reference. Coach John McDonnell is a man who studied for the priesthood, and then decided that he would go into politics instead. He's just one step away from liberation theology, I think.
Mm.
He's very clever, really very dedicated to working class people where he comes from. And we, in some crucial respects, never left. And I think that the movement has great possibilities in spite of the number of people who attack it, especially in the establishment and in the media, which is, you know, owned by billionaires. I don't think he will. I don't think anyone will. But I think that together we can use them to help us keep the enemy at bay while we build our movement.
What would you say to the view that socialists, among whom I count myself, have already arrived? In fact,
arrived?
I use the word with advisedly, in the sense that you might say, what's the guy who said the revolution will not be televised? What's his name?
I know who you mean, though.
Yeah. But in fact, the revolution has happened and is continuing to happen, but it will not get official acknowledgement. It will not be in the evening news. It will not be declared at the UN, or don't expect it to look that way. Don't expect your work to be valued, the care.
I don't.
You don't think that's valid?
I'm not expecting to be a star.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking to you personally.
But I do see that people, prominent people, are beginning to respond to the power of that movement.
Mm.
I saw that Afua Hirsch, who is a mixed race woman, clever, youngish, in 30s.
Ira Hirsch?
No, Afua.
Afua
She's half
Hirsch.
African.
Okay.
And half, I think, Hirsch, probably white Jewish.
Mm.
Very typical combination.
Mm.
And she spoke about Haiti in the paper today.
Mm.
And I said, well, we are getting somewhere.
Mm.
Because from 1 year to the next, you don't hear about Haiti, except that's a very corrupt place.
Mm.
And now people are saying, no, it's not Haiti that's corrupt. It's Oxfam that's corrupt,
mm.
which is corrupting Haiti, which is using Haiti as slaves, as sex slaves, etc.
Mm.
And you know, that news, I watch the news every day to
mm.
see the revolution.
Mm.
Not because that is revolutionary, but because the forces of subversion in the grassroots, those who want change and who are fed up and do not accept the lies, you know, I can see them reflected in the movies, in the news, in everything that's happening, in individuals who say, look, you know, Afua Hirsch on Sunday said, I really was interested, Sunday, just 3 days ago, she said, I am not, though I don't suffer from stop and search, I am not poor and working class. And that's why in my position, I must speak about these things, about racism and sexism, because I'm in a position to do that, and therefore it's my job to do it. I was absolutely stunned by the statement. I've not heard one person on top say that.
Mm.
I am up here, and therefore I am accountable to down there.
Mm. Pope Francis.
You have to admit that's a big step forward.
Pope Francis hasn't.
Pardon?
Pope Francis hasn't taken that mantle. Taken up. I'm thinking Corbyn, even project that they're speaking for those down there, don't they?
No. She's not saying I'm speaking for those. She's saying I'm calling it on the establishment about what happens to people who are black and poor.
Mm.
That the establishment is not willing to admit, and I'm calling it on them, even though I do not suffer from that
yourself.
But I have a position of power and therefore must raise the questions that they would if they were here.
Okay.
Which they are not.
Yeah.
That's worthwhile.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I think.
And that's new.
I'm not. We can.
But that doesn't mean it has never happened before in the history of the world. Come on. But it's new because it hasn't happened for a lot of years.
Mm. On the question, there are two issues, and we can finish. Would you let me know when you want it? One is the whole thing around social media and the news. There's this suggestion now that Facebook and Twitter and all these things are having this negative effect on.
I don't business with that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to end it very soon.
Okay. So you don't want to engage on that question. Okay, the other question.
It's just absurd. Why discuss it?
Okay. The other question, it came to mind when you spoke of Haiti and what Oxfam is doing, what Ms. Hirsch said was actually going on. Might there be a case of some people in Haiti actually, not just be Oxfam in error, but also some Haitians in error or to blame. And I ask this because I'm thinking of the claim that black people can't be racist.
Black people can't
be racist. This is now being taught in some universities.
Well, that's nonsense. Everybody can be racist against somebody.
Yeah, well, this is actually being...
Or that they have contempt for their own race. That's very common among white people.
As well, yeah. But the claim being made is that black people can't be racist because racism requires a superstructure, a social systemic...
Racism doesn't require anything but a foul mouth.
And perhaps a foul mind.
We can move on that. There are other things besides, but racism just requires power relations.
Yeah. Well, this is what they're saying about black people don't have the power to be racist.
Well, that's not true.
I agree.
Well,
I agree.
You know, we had a president of the United States who was a man of color.
Mm.
He was able to kill black people and support police who killed black people.
Mm.
He had maybe he had a problem, but it was not visible in what he did.
It was not?
Visible
uh-huh.
in what he did.
Mm.
Obama supported the police who killed black people.
He did speak out on the Trayvon murder.
Yes, that was early days, and he soon... declined from that.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Mm.
He would not take a position. I forget which murder was brought to his attention, and he would not.
Was it the I Can't Breathe guy?
Maybe it was the I Can't Breathe. That was the New York fella.
Yeah.
Fella.
Mm.
I don't know which one it was, but he definitely... Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't remember. There was a particular time when he was told, you know, he was going to say something and then the police visited him and he changed his mind or something. I don't know. You're a journalist.
I'll look it up. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. He did it. You know he did it. He never said the police have to be accountable for what they do. Never.
I'd be surprised if he...
I'll
get back to you. I will get back to you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. People were very... Black people in particular were so deeply disappointed that he never took sides with those of us who are suffering from police racism. Never.
Mm.
He's not like this racist pig. He was not a friend of the Klan, but then the Klan wouldn't have him. He's the wrong color.
Mm. Okay. Back to where we started, the whole question of the visibility or not of your work, my work, anybody's care work.
Unwage
caring work. It would it not be enough for the person who receives the care, and typically it would be in a family setting with the husband, the child, the wife, would it not be enough for that they see and reward the care? I wonder, I guess what I'm asking is, to what extent is it prudent to ask society, government, or anybody else outside the home, the immediate circle, the familial circle of care, to what extent is it prudent to ask them to recognize or them to see? It seems to me there'll always be a tension between what the outside, the public view of things, and the private view. And I tend to put more weight on the private view.
It's not a question of what weight you put on, it's a question of what social power results in the work you do. And most of the time, the social power goes down when you are a carer. You have less time for yourself, you have fewer choices, and you're poorer. And women are the poorer sex, and we're the poorer sex because we do the caring. And we haven't seen any men rushing to put their hand in their pocket.
Mm.
And a lot of them don't have anything in their pocket because, you know, that's who most of the world is poor people.
Mm.
And we want that money. Mm. We want all of us to have that money. We don't want anybody to have so much more than other people. It's very anti-democratic.
Mm.
They have powers which they have no right to. We didn't give them that power. They took it. They stole the money and they took it.
Mm.
And they shouldn't have it.
But it is, is there an equation there of money and power?
Absolutely. There is an absolute equation of money and power. Otherwise, we would never give our lives to an employer because we like them,
mm.
although we never met them before. We give our lives 8 hours or 10 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, because at the end of it, we have a piece of power, the power to eat, the power to pay our rent, the power to buy a new shirt, the power to go on the underground. We do it because we want that power, because he has most of the power. And so he gives us a little bit if we become his slaves for a limited amount of time. That's called capitalism.
8 hours a day, usually. Yeah.
In some places, much longer.
Yes.
Including here.
I came here. I was saying to Selma earlier, I came here from a 12-hour shift. I'm a carer. I was saying to Selma, I make my money not from my publishing, because the mainstream media will not touch me. So I managed to, through my music, pay for a trip to Barbados last year. But that's an anomaly. From 1 year to the next, I couldn't depend on my writing and publishing my books to pay my bills. It has to come from somewhere else. And I've learned to assert my own power, go and work for the man or the missus or whoever, clean the bum, whatever, but retain my vision of the world, retain my goals, my ambitions, and assert my power in that sense. That's why I think, I'd say, if I would never have gone and driven and delivered pizzas for Domino's Pizza if I felt that, or this job is too capitalist and too beyond me, and the 6 pounds I make an hour or whatever is a concession to capitalism or whatever.
But that's not what Selma didn't say. That.
No, I'm not saying, I'm talking about me. I'm not saying that's what she said. But
what if you found out that this pizza that you were giving people caused cancer, which indeed now even the Radio 4 says, what would you do then?
Yeah, I actually led a campaign. I started a campaign to reform the company, but I would never have been able to do that if I didn't engage with them as an employee. It was sabotage by Mike Liggins of the BBC and other people who were already they already had this guy, multimillionaire Surinder Kandola, on their radar. The BBC and the Independent had already done stories about this guy's abuse of Eastern European workers. But when this black man took information to them saying, hey, follow up on this, they said no, and they called me a crank.
Right. It just a heads up, 6:45.
Yeah, okay.